Our text this morning is Romans chapter 5 and verse 8. But God demonstrates His own love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. One of the most comical demonstrations I've ever seen in my life came when I was at West Point. And several of us as cadets were going around to different demonstrations to see how different branches of the Army were presenting themselves. And this particular demonstration was a demonstration of the Quartermaster Corps. And as young college men, we all filed into the bleachers, and this sergeant stood out in front of us with a long wooden pointer, you know, those old wooden pointers with the rubber tip on the end, and he went, slapped that pointer against a washing machine, and he said, "This is a washing machine." And of course, those of us sitting in the stands could hardly believe it, you know, here's a bunch of college guys, we could hardly contain ourselves. And he takes the pointer and he stuffs the pointer in the tub of the washing machine and he says, "This is the tub in the washing machine." I said, "Brother, do we really have to go through this?" Absolutely. And he went through and explained each part of the washing machine, believe it or not. The armed forces live and die on demonstrations. But it's that way in life, isn't it? That if you go to the store and you want to buy something, the salesman will most likely want to demonstrate whatever it is. I think I've seen hundreds of demonstrations of copy machines of different types. Demonstrations, they're built into our nature for some reason. And the reason is, I think, is that we're made in the image of God. And our text relates directly with that. What does it say? But God demonstrates His own love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Here is the grand demonstration. And it's a demonstration of the love of God. And my contention this morning is that we as people who are bound to our physical senses, we as people like this need tangible demonstrations of God's love. And so that's what we talk about this morning. Our text again. But God demonstrates His own love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. This demonstration involves the fact that Christ died for ungodly sinners like us. We are ungodly sinners. Not everybody wants to accept that fact. Verse 6 in Romans 5 says, "While we were still helpless, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly." And folks, by nature, we are people who are in Satan's camp by nature. When the fall came, Adam and Eve rebelled against God. They went over into the devil's camp, as it were. They snuggled up to the evil one and wanted to do his desires. And the evil one is a deceiver. Jesus says he's the father of lies. And we can understand that when truth is such a premium in our culture and in our society. When we say this, I think for many of us it's a problem, you know, because in our society too, we're so interested in self-esteem rather than esteeming God highly. The Apostle Paul tells us that we ought to esteem others more highly than ourselves. Real interesting, it seems to me. We need to examine the fact that we are sinners. Sinners worthy of hell. And I say that about myself. Because I know you don't know as much as I know about my own heart. And how, on many occasions, I violate the will of God. Isn't that true with all of us? Isn't that really the case? You know, as Christians, I think we also have this false idea that sinners are worthy of hell. And we have this conception that hell is separation from God. That's true in a sense. And the Bible talks about that. But let me suggest to you that if hell were just separation from God, it would be a picnic. Hell is not just separation from God. Hell is separation from the love and the mercy and the care of God. And hell is the place where the terror of the wrath of God is expressed in infinite detail against sinners. And so it's not total separation from God, you see. I think it's terribly important for us to grasp that. And I think it comes home to us when we understand our own sinfulness, and then look at the work of Jesus Christ in connection with our sinfulness. Because the wonder of the work of Jesus Christ is the fact that Jesus Christ takes upon Himself the sins of people like you and me. At His baptism, our Lord Jesus Christ identified with sinners. And He began in a significant way as He started His ministry on this earth. He began in a significant way to bear the sins of people like you and me. And where did He bear those sins? In the world He bore those sins in His body, and He took them and He carried them up to the cross. And it was very legitimate, therefore, that God should bring upon Jesus Christ the Son punishment as Jesus bore the sins of people like us on that cross. I'd like you to turn in your Bibles, keep your finger there in Romans, and turn in your Bibles, if you would, to Matthew chapter 27. Just a couple of verses there. In Matthew chapter 27, verses 45 and 46. Matthew 27, verses 45 and 46. Now from the sixth hour, darkness fell upon all the land until the ninth hour. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. That is, my God, why have you forsaken me? And it's of no small consequence that there's darkness present. And in the midst of that darkness, the Son of God cries out to the Father in agony because He is suffering all the torments of the damned. He is suffering all those torments. And He cries out in that darkness, "Why have you forsaken me?" And He is separated at that point from the love of God. And He is under the wrath of God. Why does He do that? Friends, the wonder of it is that He does that for people like you and me. So that people like you and me will never have to experience a similar separation from the love of God. That's why He does it. Go back to Romans. And look again at Romans 8. Romans 8 verses 35 through 39. Look at these tremendous words. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword, just as it is written, for thy sake we are being put to death all day long, we were considered as sheep to be slaughtered. But in all these things we overwhelmingly conquer through Him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor things present nor things to come nor powers nor height nor depth nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Hallelujah! Nothing will be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Why? Because Jesus Christ suffered that separation for people like us. What a wonder that is! And if that doesn't make you sing hallelujah, I don't think anything can. I really don't. It is the greatest of possible things under heaven. And in Romans chapter 5 and in verse 8, God tells us that this is His grand demonstration of love. But God demonstrates His own love for us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. It's a demonstration. I know that you folks have gone to a lot of fairs. You've gone to the fair, haven't you? And you've seen a lot of displays at the fair. You go into one building after another and there's a display. And sometimes we call those static displays. There are pictures. There are items on display. There might be machinery on display. There might be cars on display. If you go to Minden, Nebraska, you find a lot of antique cars on display. And I know that there are some of you that are interested in that kind of thing. But a demonstration is a little bit different than a display, isn't it? In a demonstration, when you go into the
the place where they sell cars, into the showroom. The salesman there, what does he want to do? He wants to get you in that car, and he wants you to get the feel of that car. He wants you to go out and drive that car. He wants to give you a demonstration. And that's entirely different. And in a demonstration, you actually participate in what is taking place. And that's exactly the situation that we are involved in as far as the cross is concerned. You see, the cross and the death of Jesus Christ on the cross is a demonstration. It's not just a picture out there. If you consider the cross of Jesus Christ a picture out there, that's not sufficient. You know, that's something that you can take or leave. And if you walk away from the cross of Jesus Christ, you do that at the peril of your soul. You can't do that and survive spiritually. You have to be engaged. You have to respond. You have to be involved. You know, the Apostle Paul says in Galatians 2:20, he says, "I have been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, Christ lives within me. And the life I live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God." Now get this. "I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and died for me." And he brings it right down to a very personal level. And that's why the cross, you see, is a demonstration. Because it engages each one of us. It has to. If individuals like us are going to be saved eternally. And again, that's a tremendous thing for each of us to understand. And I think that's why Jesus Christ comes along and he says in Matthew, "Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Because my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Come to me. And who is it that he invites? "Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden." Those who understand their sinfulness. Those who understand that they are burdened down and weighted with that sin. Come to me. The death of Jesus Christ on the cross is, therefore, a demonstration of God's love. But we're here in part also to talk a little bit about the Lord's Supper, because we're going to celebrate the sacrament of the Lord's Supper next week. The Lord willing, we'll be here and we'll enjoy that together. And it will be a joy because the Lord's Supper is also a demonstration of God's love to people like you and me. You know, our God has given to us the sacrament as something which is very tangible, something that involves our senses, it involves our ears. You know, when the elements are before us, the bread and the fruit of the vine, we talk about that a little bit and we explain the meaning of those elements as the Lord Jesus did. So our ears are involved and we see with our eyes that bread and the cup. And not only so, we take that bread in our hands and we take that bread into our mouths and we feel it. We do the same with the fruit of the vine. And we feel and we smell that bread and that wine. We taste it. The senses, vitally involved. It's a demonstration, you see, in which we're all involved. Really interesting. And one of the reasons it's really interesting is that we need that. You know, we really do need that. I'm intrigued by this. Very much intrigued by it, because I really defy you. You know, this is pretty bold now. I admit it. It's pretty bold. I defy you to taste, touch, smell, feel, or hear directly the Holy Spirit. Can you taste and touch and feel the Holy Spirit? Is that possible? You know, Jesus said, "The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit." You don't go out here and see the wind, do you? You don't see the little molecules bouncing through the air. You don't see those molecules. What do you see? You see the results of the wind. And in Kansas, it's really great in the springtime, isn't it? You see the wind blowing through that wheat. You see the results of that. You see that wind. And that's how it is with the Holy Spirit. You don't see the Holy Spirit or taste the Holy Spirit. You experience the results of the presence of the Holy Spirit. And the Spirit works in us through the means of our senses. And He does things to us. It's really amazing. And that's why we need tangible things. We need the demonstration of God's love on the cross. I'm really excited about heaven because heaven's going to be different. Heaven is going to be a place where in an immediate way we're going to experience and understand and have a knowledge of the love of God. Immediately. Not through anything, you know, just spirit to spirit. You know, boy, that's going to be something. But here on this earth, when we're confined in a bodily way and the senses are so much a part of who we are, we need tangible things. We need demonstrations. And that's what the Lord's Supper is all about. It's a demonstration of the love of God, you see. And so we come to the Lord's Supper, it seems to me, or we should come to the Lord's Supper in that kind of way. And folks, when we come to the Lord's Supper next week, those of you that will be here, I really want to encourage you to come in this way. Thinking on one hand of the demonstration of God's love on the cross for you. And on the other hand, thinking about how that love of God is demonstrated in bread and in the fruit of the vine. And I'm challenging myself and I'm challenging you that when you come to the Lord's Supper and you take that bread and you just feel it in your hand, you think about the fact this Jesus gave His body for me. And when you take that bread in your mouth, you chew it, and you taste of it, you think about this Jesus who gave Himself for me, and that I live by His life. And when you take that cup in your hand, and you hold that cup in your hand, and you just smell of it just a little bit. And then you taste of it. Remember Jesus. Think to yourself, this Jesus died, gave His blood so that I could live eternally. That's the demonstration. And God has said, I'm pleased to work through that demonstration so that people like us actually feed on Christ. Not in a bodily way. Not in a carnal way. Not like we were chewing a piece of meat. But spiritually. And we're fed and energized by Jesus Christ. That's part of the demonstration. And you see, what God is doing in all of this is He's demonstrating to you His love. Boy, what more could you ask for? What more could you ask for? Listen to the text again. But God demonstrates His own love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. I don't know about you, but all of a sudden I'm getting excited and I'm getting excited and I'm anticipating this demonstration already. And I hope that's the case with you. Let's pray together. Father, thank you. Thank you that you meet our needs in so many ways. How good you are. Of course you made us. And you have redeemed us through Jesus Christ. I thank you that that's the case. And I pray, Father, that each one of us here, each one of us here today, might in a very real way understand this demonstration of love on the cross. And also, Father, that we might understand this love demonstrated in the Lord's Supper. I pray, Father, that you'll prepare us for the sacrament. And those who are here today who are not able to be with us next week, we pray, Father, that what we've looked at this morning might encourage them also to anticipate their own participation in the Lord's Supper, in that body of believers from which they come. At any rate, Father, we pray that we as a people might be caught up in this demonstration of love. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.